You look at a high school diploma hanging on the wall, and it's so quiet, a thick piece of paper, maybe a gold seal. But actually getting that piece of paper into your
Oh,
hands,
it's a huge operation.
right, it reads less like an education manual and more like, I don't know, a CIA playbook. So, welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're unpacking the South African Department of Basic Education's official regulations for their national exams.
Yeah, we're uncovering the almost cinematic machinery required to pull this off for you.
Because it's not just dry bureaucracy.
No, not at all. You're really looking at a massive intelligence operation designed to protect one specific thing, which is fairness.
Okay, let's unpack this. We start with the physical test papers themselves.
Yeah.
Because going through these sources, it honestly felt like reading the security protocols for transporting literal gold bullion.
Yeah, they treat it like literal gold.
It's wild. They print these things in restricted zones with like dual locking doors and closed circuit cameras and moving them.
Field trucks.
Sealed trucks, tracking devices, secret codes, and armed guards.
What's fascinating here is that in a hyper-connected digital age, the hardest thing to secure isn't a cloud server.
No.
No, it's a physical sheet of A4 paper traveling down a dirt road in a delivery truck.
Wow.
Because a single leaked paper compromises the futures of hundreds of thousands of learners.
That's a massive scale.
It is. So in this ecosystem, that printed question sheet is literally as valuable as currency.
It's crazy to think about. You've got this highly coordinated tactical team running a massive logistics network just to safely drop a piece of paper on a wooden desk.
Exactly.
But here's where that physical security kind of hits a wall. What happens when the exam itself is digital? Like, you can put an armed guard outside a room, but for a computer applications technology,
The
practically.
computer itself is a Trojan horse.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why the protocol shifts to creating a digital vacuum. They literally have to sever the room's connection to the outside world.
Just pulling the plug.
Pulling the plug on local networks. Yeah, so no one can remotely drop a file onto a student's desktop. And even the recycle bins have to be emptied.
Wait, why the recycle bin? Who cheats using digital trash?
Well, think about the mechanism. A student could sneak in during a free period, type up a cheat sheet, delete it, and then simply.
Oh, we restore it.
Right, they restore the file from the recycle bin during the actual exam.
Yeah, it is so sneaky.
It really is. So the officials have to forensically wipe the machines to ensure they're completely clean.
That is incredibly clever. But here's where it gets really interesting. Reading further, there's a protocol for power failures that sounds less like an exam and more like a psychological
All the
experiment.
blackout rules, yeah.
If the grid goes down, they lock panicked teenagers in a dark room in dead silence for up to 2 hours. How do they even enforce that?
With absolute rigidity, because the moment they talk, the integrity of the test just vanishes.
But what happens if the power is out for over 2 hours? Do they just fail?
No, they actually have a safety net. If the blackout outlasts that 2-hour window, the students don't fail, the exam stops.
Okay, so what then?
The department has a completely separate, fully vetted backup paper ready for another date. It guarantees no one is penalized just because, a transformer blew down the street.
Okay, so they've got the paper on lockdown and they've air-gapped the computers. But none of that matters if the person watching the room has a conflict of interest, right? Or is just prone to making mistakes. Securing the humans has to be the biggest vulnerability.
Oh, absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, standardizing human behavior is the hardest puzzle in this entire cycle.
Yeah, I bet.
Unplugging a router is easy,
Right.
but stopping a parent who desperately wants their kid to succeed, that requires strict boundaries.
Right.
That's why the rules explicitly state officials cannot invigilate their own children. It completely removes the conflict of interest before it even starts.
And they mandate severe penalties for imposters, too. Like literally showing up with a fake ID to take a math paper for your buddy.
Exactly. They don't mess around with that.
But, while they are incredibly rigid about preventing fraud, they actually aren't rigid about the students themselves.
Right, because a perfectly level playing field doesn't mean treating everyone exactly the same.
Exactly.
If a student has severe dyslexia or aphasia, handing them a standard language paper doesn't test their knowledge.
It just tests their barrier to learning.
Precisely. So the system adapts. They grant specific accommodations, like allowing the student to swap in an alternative subject that doesn't rely heavily on traditional written language processing.
That makes so much sense. It maintains the academic rigor, but removes the mechanical barrier.
Yeah, it's a very thoughtful approach.
So, what does this all mean? When you peel back the dry language of these regulations, you are not just looking at red tape. you are looking at thousands of hours of hidden human labor desperately trying to protect the value of a student's hard work.
Every camera, every wiped hard drive, every rule about who stands in what room, it all exists so that when a grade is finalized, it belongs entirely to the student's own merit.
It really changes how you see that certificate, but it makes you wonder, as AI and remote proctoring become the standard, will we eventually look back at this massive physical boots-on-the-ground orchestration as a relic of the past?
That's a fascinating thought.
Or will high-stakes exams always require this intense human touch? Something to chew on. Keep wondering, keep exploring, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.